Jesus. Come on, open your mouth. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much. God, you sent your only begotten Son into the simple world just for me. Just for me, Jesus. Just for me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated, beloved. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace that is greater than all our sins. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse. Over 2,000 years ago, our Heavenly Father looked down upon time. And he saw the corruption of man and the sin that would come about. But he said, I love those folk. He said, I love those folk. I love them enough that I'll send my very best, my only begotten Son, who knows no sin. I'll send him to die on their behalf. And tonight we're in Wilson, North Carolina, not just for another religious service, but to stand to our feet, lift our hands, and sing, Amazing Grace. Come on. Come on, sing. That's it. Was lost, but now, thank God I found. I was blind, but now I see. We've been there, seen that. Come on, bright shine. Sing it again. Come on, come back on. Praise God. Come. to live. I just begin to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just begin to live. All things have passed away. I have a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just begin to live. Oh, I just begin to live. I just begin to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just begin to live. All things have passed away. I have a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just begin one more time. I just begin to live. I just begin to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just begin to live. All things have passed away. I have a brighter day. In this house tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing this old song with me. You know what I know that you do. Long years ago, when I was sin, I had no hope. No peace within. Down on my knees. In agony. I cried to Jesus and he gladly set me free. Come on, choir. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. Everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now at his dear feet. Just humbly bow. Confess to Jesus your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you. Peace and joy within. Oh, and I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'm gonna shout it for he's everything. One more time. Come on, fire. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. Oh, I'm gonna shout it, for he's everything to me. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, let's give us a praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'm gonna shout it for he's everything to me. Roll away. It made me How many are just glad that you're saved tonight? I said, are you just glad that you're saved tonight? And that you have a hope. I did not plan to sing this song, but for whatever reason, I want to sing it tonight. I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. As I entered the gates, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. Oh, but I said, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. I cried, holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory. Glory to the Son of God. I thought, as I entered that city, all my loved ones, they all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. Seats were too many to tell. I saw Abraham, there was Jacob, and there was Isaac. Over there was Mark and Timothy. Oh, but I said, boys, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for me. Oh, and then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. I cried, holy. Holy, I clapped my hands and sang glory. Oh, I sang glory. Oh, I sang glory. Sing glory. Oh. praise him in his house tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, we do better than that. Let's give the Lord some praise. There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Sing it again. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I like this part of this song though. There's an army rising up. Aren't you glad you're part? There's an army rising up. There is an army. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's power, come on. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Glad you're living with that power within you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for being with us tonight in this service. We so appreciate our opportunity to be here this week. We've enjoyed ourselves thus far, and we believe in God to do something in this house tonight. Somebody say amen. So we believe in God to do something in this house tonight. You're watching by the way of internet tonight. We welcome you and we thank you for watching. And we believe in that even though you're not in the building, the same God that's going to be in this building tonight, it's going to come right through your screen and you're going to feel his presence and your lives can be touched. Thank you so very much. You have your Bibles, I want us to first turn to the most probably familiar passage of Scripture in the Word of God. And it's the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. I know we can almost quote it, but the brethren is going to put it on the wall so we don't miss a word of it. How about that? in the 23rd Psalm. Matter of fact, I want you to stand with me tonight as we read this scripture. Let's just read together. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Somebody say amen. Come on, give me some praise. You should be seated tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Now, in the book of Joel, one more passage of scripture I want to read, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 27, I believe it is. It says this, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause it to come down for you, the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." I'm going to have a little Pentecostal bit right here tonight. If I can get cooled down in this. "And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you," somebody say restore. I want you to say it like you really want some tonight. Restore! I heard somebody mad in that screaming right there. Come on, say it one more time. "Restore! I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And my people shall never never, 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 our people shall never be ashamed. I'm going to talk to you tonight just for a few minutes, about 3 hours. Some of you are saying, "I know what you mean. I've been here about that long ever." No. I want to speak to you tonight about something called restoration. Restoration. Although I repeat repetitively every night, we're living in troublesome times, I still believe God is God. And the things that the enemy has stolen from us, I believe it's ours for the asking. It's ours for the receiving. I'm going to ask you something tonight as I get started. How many has got lost children in this house? How many has got lost grandchildren in this house? Who's got lost spouse or lost loved one, period, in this house? I believe that we can go to the enemy's camp and take them back. You say, "Well, you ain't been to my house," like the preacher. "You ain't been to mine either. Hadn't been to mine either. It's because I'm the preacher. Don't mean that heaven comes down and glory fills our soul every day at the house. There are some days the battle's on, but I believe that God, I believe with all of my heart, I truly believe this. As I sit and watch the news even today and last night, and I see how the battle is intensifying. I said the battle is intensifying. Don't mean to scare anybody, but the battle of Armageddon is fixing to start taking place. That battle is just fixing to take place. Matter of fact, they're lining up today. They're lining up today for that battle to begin. And that you say, I don't know about that. Well, you just sit around and watch the news. The fake news and the true news. That battle is fixing to begin. I don't understand all the end time stuff. I'm not an end time man. You want an end time individual? There's those that teach that totally. That's their ministry. That's not mine. I don't have all the knowledge of the end time. I don't understand everything, but I can put two and two together. And every time I put two and two together, it becomes four. Even if you two times two, it's four. Or if you two plus two, it's four. So by the signs of the times that I read in the book of Daniel and the book of the 24th chapter of Matthew, and I look and I read in the book of Revelations, and I've just read again the whole book of Revelations, and again, I don't understand it all. I went through Pastor Jerry, the first three chapters where it's speaking to the seven churches. And God's speaking to the churches, and he's telling them to shake themselves, wake up, get back where they need to be. And I still believe he's still speaking to the church tonight. He's not wanting a part-time relationship with you. He's wanting a total commitment out of you. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church. I'm talking about us. We're the church. We're the church. It don't matter what's on the church sign. What matters is what's on in the heart of man. Now, in the last few years, I'm going to lay this base real hard just for a moment. The last few years, I've dealt with a lot of different organizations. Matter of fact, I was just with one in Texas that they believe that there is a particular man that believes that he was the one who brought out this era of the Pentecostal movement. And I won't call his name. It's not important, but that's what they believe. They've got their hero. But there's other organizations in the Pentecostal movement that believe that in a little schoolhouse right outside of Cleveland, Tennessee, in North Carolina, that is where the move of God came. Some believe in Azusa Street. That's where it came at. And it don't really matter where it came, and it don't matter when it came. The question is, do we still got it? And if we don't got it, we need that we have restoration in our life. Amen? Amen. If we've ever seen a move of God and we know it's real, it's time we see it operate again. And if we, when we get hungry for it, we won't care if we're out in the woods or if we're down at Walmart or we're down at the restaurant. It won't really matter. Because you'll say, God, just use me in any way you want to use me. Amen? So tonight I'm going to ask you, how many, I need to know this before I even share with you tonight. Is there anybody in the room in the last few months, by the disturbance of what you see going on, has anything triggered in your heart to say, God, help me to be all that I'm supposed to be? Yes. Yes. Help me to be all that I'm supposed to be. I don't know, Ricky, everything I'm supposed to be. There's a few things that I know that I'm not. I'm not a rocket scientist. Yeah, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not even a mechanic. I know when my car's running and I know when it's not. I'm not a good cook. I burn water. Yeah. You ain't got the brightest light bulb this week. I'm just a fluorescent light, I reckon. And I'm singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's not for that mess. But I believe with the turbulence and with all the end times coming into play, I believe it's time to see God do the works that we have been praying for a long, long time. I said, I believe it's time for us to see the hand of God begin to answer those prayers that we have prayed about for a long, long time. Some of us have been praying about things for years. Some may have been praying about for a few days. I don't know what the length of time may be. And there's not a cookie cutter process to get your answer. I'm going to say that one more time. There's not a cookie cutter process to get your answer. There are some ingredients we have to use. And that's prayer. Anybody ever prayed in this room? Let me see both my hands and one leg. And if you've ever fasted, let me see both hands in the other leg. I can do that because Brother Nathan got me straightened out this afternoon. I'm a straight up man tonight. I believe that because of the signs of the times and where we at, if we're ever going to see our restoration come, it's where we at right now. I know that a lot of times we bring, and what I'm about to say can be controversial, so I'm just basing my opinion right now before I move on to that. I know some time to time we bring up youth groups up on stage and young people, and they say, this is our next generation. Yeah. I'm not sure we have another generation. Right. I'm not sure of that. I'm not saying I'm right with that, but I believe by the signs of the time, we're almost home. Yes, sir. I said, I believe we're almost home. I'm not trying to create fear in your life, but I'm telling you tonight, hell's hot. Yes. If you're in this room tonight and don't know Jesus, you need to get saved. Yes. Because it ain't going to be a little burn. It's going to be a long eternity. But God has come to bring restoration. We read it in the Psalms 23. Read it in Joel chapter 2. That he's going to restore. What the cankerworm, the pommel worm, everything that the enemy has devoured out of our lives, he promised with a promise that he will restore it. Come on, say he's going to restore it. Come on. He's going to restore it. The only way I know to talk to you tonight about restoration is about things that I've saw. I don't know a whole lot. But a little over 17 years ago, I started back on the road traveling. And at that time, I was working with another ministry for a short while. Still great friends with him. Just our schedules were so busy, we're not with each other much. And his name is recognizable. If I called it tonight, everyone in this area probably knows, so I won't do that for the sake of that, but I was working with this gentleman, and he was doing commercial concert scenes. And one of the first things that I went with him on was a car show of a church in up close to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A Baptist church that had a car show every year, and they'd have 200 or 300 cars in the car show. But I liked the process, because if you put your car in the car show, you had to be there Saturday and Sunday. And it was required for you to be at the service Sunday morning. We didn't have church on the inside of the church. They had a tractor and trailer, big flatbed truck out there in the field amongst the cars. We had the sound systems cranked up. The community heard it, whether they was there or not. But we required those folks that had enlisted their cars into the car show to be there. They did. The church required them to be there. And I liked that, so because it created, we had 300 or 400 people at least. At least we were sure we were going to have that many there on Sunday morning. And so we went, and I began to find out some things, because when I come back on the road 17 years ago, I was not as blessed as I am today. I wasn't as blessed as I was today. Me and Pastor Ricky talked about this a little bit today. Yeah. And you know, 1997 or so, I was driving a yellow, canary yellow Toyota Corolla. Ugly was an understatement, but it was better than walking. I don't mind walking as long as everybody else is walking. But when they're riding, just give me a canary yellow Corolla Toyota until Jerry gives me an infinity. Y'all notice I parked on that every night this week. He brought his wife's car over here today, hoping I'd start liking it, I think. That's the best he can do. He can just give his wife's car. I'm joking. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching. That's a joke, but we're going to go on that. I mean, I was down to nothing. I went into ministry. I called a gentleman. I knew folks that made some money. I didn't know how they made money, but I knew they had some. I figured if I was going to get some money, I need to ask somebody that's got some money. How do you ask the beggar? How do you make some money? You don't know. He says you go down to the stop sign with a cardboard sign. So I called some folks, and this one relative, friend of mine, he's in the junk business. He's in the junk business. You know, I wasn't thinking too high. I didn't set my levels too high. I was afraid I'd get let down. Anybody ever done that? You know, sort of had the low. Let's believe God for a hamburger today. And maybe even a Crisco. Y'all know what crystals are up here? Well, y'all need to come a little further south. They call ministry burgers where I came from. Get 12 of them. Eat them while you're going down the road. 12 of them. There ain't much to them. Why I'm on this message, I never know. So my level went too high, so I called this guy and say, I need to make some side money. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm leaving a salary position. I'm stepping out in faith, and I need to make some money. And he says, well, Kenny, scrap metal's up pretty high right now. I said, why don't you get out and see if you can find some junk cars? Why don't you get out and find some junk cars? It'll get you about 250, $300. So I'd get out riding around looking for junk cars. Yeah. I'm thinking $300. When you broke, $300, pretty good. I'm going down the road. I'm looking for folks that got junk sitting in the yard. And I didn't have no shame. Pull in there. I look at it. All the windows is knocked out of it. All four tires is flat. Hadn't been ran in years. It's turned into a rust bucket. It's a piece of junk. And you go up and ring their doorbell or knock on the door, and they come to the door and say, "Hey, Nathan, I noticed you got this old car out here. I'm just curious. You're going to do something with it?" Said, "I'll be glad to take it off and get it out of the yard so it ain't so ugly, you know, sitting here in the yard. If you want to get rid of it, be glad to take it off your hands." And believe it or not, some folks say, "No, I want to keep it. I might need it sometime." That's the truth, so help me God. I'm thinking, need it something. Really? Really? You ain't drove it the last 27 years. You ain't about to start right now. I mean, it's junk. But every now and then, you'd hit a diamond. You'd drag her down to the junkyard, get your $300, going home saying, "Look what the Lord has done." Felt pretty good about it. I've done stuff like that. But when I got past a little bit of that and tried to be a little bit more professional, I never have accomplished much of that, but when I'm trying to be a little bit more professional, I didn't want to be dragging junks up and down the road. You look at that poor old preacher. Bless his heart. Touch him, Jesus. Y'all laughing because y'all wasn't the one pulling the car. So I started playing for this gentleman and being with some concerts and stuff, and we started going to these car shows at time to time, and I seen something. God gave me a revelation, I guess, that the thing that I saw for $300, somebody saw much further than the $300. They saw something that I could not see. I seen a piece of junk that needed to be smushed at the crushing yard and the check in my pocket. But they seen something beyond that. And so they would go up to these individuals. They'd beat me to the yard and say, "Hey, sir, I'll be glad to give you $500 for that car." They'd be willing to pay something for it. "Yeah. I'll give you $500 for the car if you like to get rid of it." You better believe every one of those folks, and those that told me no. So, let me find the title. They'd take that old piece of junk of a car down to some building. How many has ever done any restoration in this room? Well, got a couple folks done some restoration. They take that old car down to a building. In just a few days, it's torn into 1,000 pieces. Took the trunk off, the hood off, the fenders off, the wheels off. It's all the way down to nothing. You thought it looked rough the other day. Now it's down to nothing. They take it all the way down to nothing, and they start again. They start again, and they take these vehicles, Ricky, and they don't only do what you're normal eye is going to look for. They go beyond that. They'll go down to the brain. They'll sandblast the brain, and they'll even paint the brain. I will tell you, I have never went to buy a car and looked under the car to see if the brain was painted or not. Yeah. I don't give a hoot if the brain's painted, just so it's straight. I don't. So they'll take it all the way down to the bare metal and start again.
Yes. Praise God.
And they'll work on it for weeks and months and sometimes into the years.
Yes.
Because they don't want one little blemish in this thing. They see a beautiful vehicle that I didn't see. I'm preaching about you tonight. Y'all just bear with me. I'm preaching to Pastor Jerry right here tonight. They take that vehicle and build it back up. And now it's finished. It's finished. Now, some folks, our son, our youngest son, owns his own body shop. A few months ago, Jerry, there was a 1950-something model Chevrolet, step-side Chevrolet truck in there, baby blue, with a total chromed out engine. Beautiful. This man had just invested over $60,000 of his personal money into restoring this truck. And he was so excited about it. Listen, you're gonna like it. He was so excited about it that the day that he thought he was finished, Nathan, he wanted to see what that engine. So he got this truck, Ricky, got on a straight road, and put the hammer down. But the only problem was one malfunction. They forgot to put brake fluid in the cylinders. True story. I need to tell you, it's a true story. He had to hit a tree to get stopped. Had to start basically from the front of that truck over again after $60,000 worth of investment. I'd have to file chapter 13 before the sun went down. Why are you filing bankruptcy for? Well, I hit a tree with a truck I didn't put no brake fluid in. I'm about to say that preacher's crazy. Go ahead and tell him. Tell him he's crazy. He's crazy. So our son had to rebuild the front end of that truck. And it's nice. But I've been at these cars since I get there. And these ones that have invested great mega money into them, they won't let you get close to them. Matter of fact, they got that yellow tape stuff about 10 foot back from it. And it has a sticker that says, "Do not touch." That means keep your nappy hands off of it. So, I'd see those cars, and then they'd walk on down. And there were some guys that went a little further than that. They were so proud of what they had done that they would actually slide mirrors under it. They'd slide mirrors under it because they want you to know they just didn't get a cheap paint job. They got something that went all the way to the bare metals and started again, and they want you to know that the frame is painted. And they want to see they didn't miss one spot of that. And what I've come to know, built that up way too much. But what I came to know, now this car that has been restored is worth more in value today than it was when it was brand new. It was worth more in value than those folks. They may have paid, they may pay $500 for it back in the 50s. $1,000 or so. Now we're talking $70,000 and $80,000. I can't even imagine that. But we got beyond that, and ministry started growing some, and we're going into full time, total full time. I called another gentleman that was much more wealthier. Now I said, David, what are you into? I know you're into something. I need to make some extra income to get me started on the road. He said, well, Kenny, I'm into buying foreclosure houses. He said, if you want to go with me to the sale, see what you think. Well, we bought the first foreclosure. We bought it by a drive-by only. Had never walked in it. That's buying by faith. We bought the first foreclosure and had only drove by it, but we went the day that we closed on it to it. We had the keys, walked in it, and amazingly, all we had to do, we did it all in one day. I mowed the grass, I mean, I shampooed the carpets, we wiped everything down, and that's all we had to do to it. Listen to me. While I'm mowing the grass, a friend of mine pulls in the yard. He knows I don't live there. He says, what are you doing in this neck of the woods? I said, well, I bought this place. He said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to sell it. He said, for how much? I said, I don't know. I said, I just saw it today. He said, I want to buy it. He said, tell me a price. So I walked in and I said, I need a raise out here. And Ray's wanting to buy this place. He said, what can we sell it to? And we agreed on a price. I went back out there. Ray said, I'll do it. I said, hallelujah! Man, I said, I can do this. I can do this. But, everybody say but. That's the only one. Like that. That's the only one like that. A pastor friend of mine called me and he said, brother, I heard that you want to buy some foreclosures. He said, I think I got a deal for you. I met him at a place that was condemned by the county. Grass about 3 foot high. A modular home that was so condemned, Nathan, that literally it had a tree growing through the floor of the living room. It wasn't a Christmas tree either. It was a wreck. This preacher said, I got this young couple that wants to buy this place, and they've been approved for a loan, but they can't buy it because it's condemned. He said, do you want to jump in here with me and let's get this thing and remodel it? Now, you know, again, I don't know nothing about that, but I'm willing to jump in. But when I went to see the thing, Anita's with me. Anita, stand up one more time because all these folks don't know who you are. This is my wife, Anita. Anita can do anything. She can. Can she not, Gina? She can do anything. She can build a house. She can work on the car. Yeah, God sent me some helpmate right there. She is. I didn't tell you she worked on the car. She don't work on my cars. She just tell me when to take it there. I'm going to get in trouble. And so we bought this home, sis, because this couple was approved for a certain amount of money. We could buy it for a certain amount of money. So a little profit margin in there. And basically, my mindset went back to the $300. I said, you know, the best thing we can do is just knock this one over and put another one in here. Just bring a bulldozer and let's knock her out of here. But my wife said, no, we can do this. And so we took it on. We hired a couple of gentlemen to help her. I was the go-getter. Anybody know what the go-getter is? That's when you got a list about this big and you go to Lowe's and Home Depot and anywhere else they send you to get. And most of the time, I'm not real good about getting that stuff. I get the wrong stuff, so I have to make double trips and all this other stuff. But I found out a few things. I'm dragging this real on now, I guess, tonight. But I found out a few things, and don't get mad at it. If you live in a mobile home, I'm just telling you what I've learned. I've learned that mobile homes are put together with staples. That's what I learned. Because the only thing I truly did in this whole remodeling process of this home was I helped them jerk the carpet out, and if they had one staple in it, it had 5,000 staples in it. And then when you jerk all that you could jerk up at that time, well, just jerking the carpet, you get a screwdriver and a hammer and a 5-gallon bucket, and you'll fill the whole bucket up with a bunch of staples. My job, we only had 30 days to do the job, to do the contract. So we were there every day that we could possibly be there. My wife was overseeing it. They put a new roof on it. They put a new foundation under it, a new porch on the front and the back. We painted the outside. We painted the inside. We put brand new cabinets in it. We put brand new vanities and everything in it. Everything, new lighting system. I'm telling you, it would have been better to knock it over and start over again. Yeah, it would, Jerry. I believe we spent over $26,000 just in renovations on that particular unit. Oh, it was a job. I mean, the driveway, you had to have a four-wheel drive to get up there to it. It was a mess. And so we had to have the gravel put in there. We just had to just fix this place. So I'm closing it with this. 3 weeks out, because I met with a young couple before we did it and agreed to do it. And so they haven't been back since we agreed to do the job. And so we were finishing up some painting, inside painting, and we was going to give them some choices of what colors they want and different things like that, or give them an opportunity to change something before we close or whatever. And so I called them and I said, you need to come over. And I never will forget, this couple was fixed to get married in just a few weeks. I never will forget the smile on that young lady's face when she got out of that car. Wow. This is going to be her new home. And she's excited about it. She, the last time she's seen this, it wasn't good enough for a dog to live in. But now, matter of fact, I thought I was going to have to live in it every while. But now, we're basically finished, almost finished. They pull up in their driveway and this glow just comes on her face. And I'm standing on the porch and I said, get out and take a look and see how you think I did. I did. Didn't tell her no different. We walked around that trailer and all around the property and she's just glowing. Yeah. Take her on inside. I said, you think that's something you're going to really like what I did on the inside. Take her in there, and lead us there, and we talk to them, and just ecstatic about the difference. This is going to be their home. And I've shared with you those two different settings tonight for the purpose of this. There has been a time in every one of our lives that somebody looked at us, and to them we were no more than that $300 car. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Some of us in this room may have been like I shared last night or night before last. has heard those statements, you'll never be nothing, you'll never have nothing, you'll never be successful, you'll never get anywhere in life. You're just an old $300 piece of junk. But God. But God. But God. But God. But God looked beyond what we were. And He says, I can make somebody out of that individual. I can make him be a beautiful image of me. And He takes our life and He molds it. Matter of fact, in some of those times that we were going through the toughest times of our life, and we felt like we was on the potter's wheel, and we felt like the potter had just got the clay and picked it up and just slammed it on the wheel. And we felt like, my God, that hurts. And now He's got His hand, sis, around us. The wheels are going, the clays are moving around, and He's got His hand. And it feels like life has almost been sucked out. We're like, my God, what's He doing? He's squeezing us. He's pressing us. He's molding us. We're in a vice. Switch off after a while, you're going to be a vessel of honor unto me. I'm going to say, look at what I made today.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
When I look at them old houses, Nathan, it probably should have been burnt down. And I see what people do with them and how they restore them. You know, I go to these cities, and I see a few, I believe, here in Wilson this week, of the old ancient houses. Somebody had to keep. They didn't always look like they look today. There was a time the paint was probably flaking off, and the windows were cracked, and the foundation may have been sinking some, and different things started happening. But somebody cared enough to say, hey, I can make some changes there, and I can make that a beautiful place.
Yes.
And they did.
Yes.
That's exactly what God does in our life.
Yes.
Tonight, we may be on the potter's wheel. Yes. We may be on the potter's wheel with everything going around and around and around. It just feels like we're just going in circles. Just going in circles. We ain't going nowhere. We're just going around. And, you know, if you go around enough, you get sort of drunk.
Yeah.
I do. And you feel like, my God, is it even worth the time?
Yeah.
Is it worth the effort? Is it worth it? Is it really worth it to serve God?
Yeah.
Is it really worth it to be a vessel that He could use at any given time?
Yes.
Yes.
And then we come to the answer, yes it is.
Yes it
is. Yes it is.
I want
to close this way tonight. We can stop right in the midst of the process. I know men that have started those processes in some of those old cars, and they run out of money. And it's still sitting there. And to some of them, it'll turn back into a rust bucket. Worth no more than the $300. But to those who keep pursuing the victory, for those who say it is worth it, although it ain't easy. You know, you may come to church tonight and you say, preacher, my God, I worked hard today. You just don't understand the sacrifice. I may not understand, but there's a God in heaven who understands. And He's allowing you. He may be putting you under a little pressure tonight. You may be tired. You may be feel like, my God, I buried my energy's gone. My strength is gone. And God says, you just keep on coming on down to the house of God, and I'm going to make something out of you that I will be glorified in.
Yes.
Woo! How does He do it? I don't know how He does it. How does He do it? You know, I preach messages. Some of them are comical. Some of them are pretty serious. And some of them, I don't even understand why God's taking me that way. Sometimes I can't read it. Sometimes I read it like a book. I preached last night. I felt that I was in a heaviness. I'm just being honest with you. I told the pastor this. Felt like I was in a heaviness last night. God, did I totally miss it? Did I totally miss it? God, what's the problem, God? I thought I hit the nail on the head. Give an altar call, and a young lady comes. Two young ladies up and come. And I'm still not feeling like I'm getting a breakthrough. I finally just give the mic to Brother Jerry. I walk to the door. I'm standing back there, and I'm not going to embarrass this young lady, but I'm so glad that Hope's back tonight. When most of the folks, 80% of the congregation had already left because they felt like we had not had church. And you can take it any way you want to take it. That's exactly what happened. They felt like, boy, that preacher missed it tonight. And that preacher felt like, boy, I missed it tonight. I stood right there and that young lady, come here, Hope. Come here. This young lady walked to me at that table. She said, I'm being tormented by demons. Ain't that what you told me? She said, I'm being tormented by demons. I said, do you want deliverance? And I begin to see that demon begin to sway in her. Because it was upon her. I grabbed her by the hand and said, come on. It wasn't probably 20 people still left here last night. When the Holy Ghost of God touched this precious young lady last night. Come on, let's give him some praise. Come on, let's give him some praise. And here she stands at the altar tonight with her hands raised, saying, I'm glad I'm back in church. Aren't you glad that God can pick you up? He can pick you up. You're not a 300 piece of trash. You're a child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus. Stay right there. Stay right there, Hope. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Jonathan, bring that young lady that's deaf. Ricky's wife, I guess, might could do that better than Jonathan. That young lady. See, in this building right here tonight, right there coming in that orange top, is a young lady that ain't heard nothing I've said tonight. She's deaf. Most folks would say her life won't be complete because she's dead. You know I'm telling the truth. That all it takes is for God to cut the toggle switch on just for a moment. All it takes is for God to turn the toggle switch on just for a moment. That clay that's hindering her from hearing. I don't know what the problem is. Not important. I know. But I know there's a piece of clay that needs to be changed. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. All right, here's Jonathan's wife. I had it confused anyway. Right, here's Jonathan's wife. She's a school teacher. She's struggling with her vocals. She needs an absolute miracle so she can perform her job duties and do what she wants to do. Jonathan said, preacher, I want you to also pray that we want to have a baby sometime in the future. And we seem like we can't have a baby. So here's just a few more pieces of clay that just needs to get sort of smoothed on out where the hand of God passes by and it just begins to rub on that thing. See, it ain't about the preacher doing it. It ain't about the Pentecostal doing it. It ain't about the Baptist doing it. It's about the Holy Ghost of God touching these young precious souls and their lives will never be the same again. Come here, Nathan. Old chiropractor right here. Sunday night, his old daddy-in-law. I had to call him old tonight. I'm joking. He didn't give me that car yet. His daddy-in-law called him up right here and put him on the spot. Said, are you willing to loose yourself to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost when I lay hands on him? He said yes. And just like Addison, his brother Jerry laid his hand on his head, he was speaking in tongues. And I went down there today and I felt a little Holy Ghost in his hands. He said, preacher, here's what he told me today. I don't know this young man. I'm giving him a hard time. Don't even know. I had him jumping all over the front up here, doing all kind of crazy stuff. And he still likes me. Maybe in a minute. But this man said today while I was laying on his table, he said, preacher, you know what I'm doing while I'm doing this? It's not only you. He said, but everybody comes in here. He said, while I'm adjusting them up and doing all that massaging, he said, I'm doing more massaging. He said, under my breath, basically, I'm praying that God, the heaven, will touch their lives and move in their lives. I said, preacher, you keep on praying. You keep on believing. I'm just telling you tonight. Didn't mean to cut you off, folks. I'm just telling you tonight. All we got to do is say, Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come and do the work in our life. I need some help. I want you to say, put your hand on your chest right now, everybody, and say, God, I need some help. God, I need some help. God, I need some help. See, my brother sitting right over here on the front row tonight, his wife had a surgery that I'm very familiar about. Had many of them on my face in the last few years. She had a surgery, cut out some cancer on top of her head yesterday and got 16 stitches, I think you told me, in the top of her head tonight. She's probably watching us right now. What I believe the Holy Ghost needs to do, it needs to go beyond the camera screens and it just needs to rub on that situation and she can feel the presence of God right there at the house tonight. That's what it's all about. It don't matter if we say one song, three songs, 27 songs. It don't matter if we say 30 minutes or 5 hours. What matters is we allow the Holy Ghost to do the work in our lives. Because we were all once a wreck. Yeah. We were all somewhat in hope's condition. Coming in here with addictions in our life, with suicide on our mind. But God captured her. I know we only got just a few more minutes in this service and one more service. I understand that. But I'm still standing my words. I'm believing as much as God's already moved in the Holy Ghost, I'm believing that young girl right there to hear. I'm believing that young girl to speak.